Recently, the Iowa legislature has made numerous changes as to how Iowans vote, and it can be confusing. Here I sit down with Jamie Fitzgerald, the Polk County Auditor, to talk about those changes and a recent court ruling about voting as we inch toward the November elections. Now, while Fitzgerald is from central Iowa, he believes Iowans should know what those changes are, so they're prepared for the upcoming elections. That conversation is just seconds away.
A proud sponsor of Insight on Business, the NewsHour, is AARP Iowa. With over 370,000 members, AARP is helping families with a host of programs, from Fraud Watch to helping build more livable communities. Learn more at aarp.org.
Welcome back to the Business News Hour. We're going to step out of the side of business for just a moment and visit with Jamie Fitzgerald. Now, Jamie happens to be the auditor for Polk County, but he has a message for all of Iowa as we attempt to go through these new voting changes that have happened here in the Hawkeye State. Jamie, welcome back to the Business News Hour. Good to have you here.
Thank you, Michael.
Well, for all transparency, ladies and gentlemen, Jamie and I go back decades. Back to your father and your mother. Still live in Fort Dodge?
Yes.
Still doing the thing up there. Great people. All right, let's dive into this a bit, shall we? What's going on? What changes do you want folks to know about?
Well, in the last 2 years, we've had a ton of changes when it comes to what voters are going to see,
right,
what to expect, and what they're going to do. We just had a court case last week that was decided, or was it? So there's still some things that are left out on that court case. They have to get clarification, and on top of that, they can appeal. But one of the big things voters are going to need to see and need to do when you go to the polling site, you're going to need to bring an ID.
Okay.
And an ID is defined by Iowa law. It's your driver's license for most people, your non-operator ID from Iowa, your voter PIN card, which is for those that don't have IDs. We'll get to that in a second.
Your voter PIN card.
PIN card. Right. A passport with it hasn't been expired, a military or veteran's ID, or a tribal ID.
Okay, so those are several ways that you can identify who you are.
However, the new court case, Lulac versus Pate, came down and now allows any voter to request a voter PIN card. And what this PIN card is, we have two different cards we send out. We have a voter ID card, which tells your polling sites.
Okay,
but it also
I have one.
But it also says you can't use that for voter identification. The judge in the Lulac case said everyone should be able to use the voter PIN card, which what this is, it's a card you need to sign, and it has a barcode on it. So every voter now can request from their county auditor this voter PIN card. Now, they're not ready yet because the Secretary of State's office has to change that, change how the system's set up. But this is a great deal for people that don't want to bring their driver's license. It doesn't have a picture on it. It doesn't have gender markers on it. So those that are transgender who may not have their ID changed,
sure,
have a great opportunity here to go out and not have to worry about anything.
So this is relatively new.
This is just last week.
Wow.
That part of it.
Okay. So how do you get a voter PIN card?
You're going to need to request from your county auditor, your local county auditor. Right now they're working on rules at the Secretary of State's office to set this up so there's not just a bunch of, hey, give me one of these on the street.
Right.
We want to make sure there's a process, and that they're working on that right now along with upgrading the system to allow for us to send these out. So that's a very big deal that came down this last week.
All right, and that is a direct change from what it had been just a week and a half ago.
Correct.
Yeah, so a voter PIN card that you have to go to your county auditor to ask for. But those rules yet aren't propagated, so we're kind of going, eh.
What we're doing in Polk County is anyone that calls or requests it, we're putting them on a
list yeah,
and making sure when they're eligible to get it, when the rules are finalized, we can send it to them right away.
One of the things that is confusing to me is Iowa doesn't have any history of voter fraud. That's what the big deal was that the legislature said, oh, we've got to protect voter integrity here in the state of Iowa. But from my knowledge, there's little to none.
There was a case in Polk County in 2016 where a voter attempted to vote twice. The system was set up to catch it. They were prosecuted. And that's the only voter fraud we've seen in Polk County.
Isn't that something? So One would think, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to this, one would think that we should make it easier to vote rather than more difficult.
It seems like the legislature these days are trying to make it more difficult. As you may recall, in 2019, there was a bill to actually take away satellite voting from state-owned facilities, which was a code word for the Board of Regents schools, Iowa, Iowa State, and UNI.
Really?
Nothing on private colleges, but the real wrench in their system was another state institution uses satellite voting. It's called our Iowa Veterans Home.
Oh.
So they had to back away from that. So it's been pretty obvious how they've had this. Now, another change that the courts are right now in flux is how you ask for absentee ballots.
Okay.
Absentee ballots have changed over the course of the last couple of years. And what's at stake is, what is your ID number? Your ID number is not your last four of your Social Security. It's not what you think it is. It's actually your driver's license or your PIN card.
Which, the one that we haven't sent out yet.
Correct. But for those that don't have driver's licenses, they have a PIN card. They could use that or their driver's license. So the courts had a couple, in the ruling, it said at one part that requiring this PIN doesn't infringe on anybody's right to vote.
Okay.
But on another part of it, they said, well, it shouldn't be required. So we've had within 24 hours, two different forms. The courts further said that if it's not put on there, the auditor or the county election official can put it on by the best means necessary. Well, for us, we have a statewide database, which is the state voter system that has everyone's identification on there.
Okay.
But it didn't say anywhere that you can't have it. You can't ask for it, but it can't be required. So they're going back to court and ask for clarification.
Oh,
I believe both sides are doing that.
Jamie Fitzgerald, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. We're outside of the world of business, although this does have an impact on business, is your opportunity to vote. This just sounds so convoluted, and people are going to be confused, I would suspect.
Confusion seems to be king anymore.
Yeah.
So we're out trying, and I appreciate your time, because we're out trying to educate the public. We keep moving the goalposts on voting, whether it's when you can ask for an absentee ballot, which is now 120 days in advance.
If you used send to be to me what?
It used to be any time.
Oh.
We'd put tickler files together. Say you were a snowbird, you wanted to vote in any of the special elections, you just fill those out. Now it has to be 120 days or closer to the election.
And isn't there something else about when you can mail those ballots out?
It used to be 40 days early voting. Now it's 29. And in 2019, they even changed it further. Because if the Monday that we can mail ballots 29 days for the election falls on a holiday, we can't mail them that day. We have to go to Tuesday. Some of us were hoping we could go back and do it Friday because they've been requested. But the legislature clarified that, and it's going to be Tuesday for those years we have elections.
Well, and once again, ladies and gentlemen, I mean, you know, if you treasure voting, like I know I do, I don't think I've missed an election almost ever. And it's very important, you know, that we get to the polls to vote. But it would seem that our elected officials who are under the Golden Dome in Des Moines are making it much more difficult. And that's got to be frustrating, especially to county auditors.
Well, they don't spend any time talking to me. A lot of the Democratic county auditors have been shut out of the process.
Really?
So there's a few senators and representatives that work on a lot of the bills, which isn't uncommon.
Yeah.
But you'd think they'd at least reach out to say what's working, what's not working. Instead, they seem to be kind of going on their own hymnal.
Oh. Jamie Fitzgerald, ladies and gentlemen, he is the Polk County Auditor. But this is statewide information that you need to know as we take a look at voting changes. Now, what about, Jamie, the whole signature thing that, you know, you had to match up signatures?
Sure. So one of the other things the legislature did in 2017 is give auditors the, quote, opportunity to check signatures. So we would verify your signature from your absentee ballot request to your ballot, which is really difficult to do in big counties. You know, we're getting, 100,000 requests and ballots back. However, none of us are signature verification experts. None of us went to FBI training school. My signature changes throughout the day. If I'm happy, it's different than if I'm sad. It's different in what part of the day. And that's to say, not even one that's 20 years old like we'd have for some folks. And we don't have them for everybody. When you register to vote at the DOT, your signature does not transfer over. So a lot of times they would be checking something, you know, that we wouldn't have any idea to check.
All right. So are we still checking?
That was struck down by the courts.
Okay. That's gone.
Yes, it is.
Well, it kind of makes sense because, again, you're not handwriting experts. And you have individuals who are working the polls that aren't clearly handwriting experts.
Correct.
Yeah. So that the judge, okay, threw out. All right. What else we got? Anything else?
Well, we've got rid of straight party voting.
Oh, okay.
Since that started in 2018. So that used to be able to vote for, let's say you wanted to vote for Republicans or Democrats or Libertarians. You could just fill in one oval and they'd vote for every one of them. That's gone. So we went through an election without that.
Which means, of course, that voters need to vote per person and turn the ballot over.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like how if you like the Green Bay Packers, you could just click the Green Bay Packers and everyone would get a vote for the All-Star game. Whereas now you have to individually fill those out. So maybe you didn't like Aaron Rodgers so much. You liked your Brett Favre. So now you can fill in Brett Favre's oval and still to go all the way down.
Got it. All right. So straight party voting. There's another curious little issue that you told me about off mic, which I think is interesting, about who is on the front of the ballot or who gets position, I guess, on the ballot.
So how current law was set up is if you had a Republican county auditor, Republicans would actually put you on top, and then the Democrats would be second, and then Libertarians and all the way down. It'd have to be that same way for every person on the ballot. The law changed in 2019 to now have the Secretary of State pick. And we have 99 counties. We have evens and odd numbers. You know, you alphabetize them all. And a lot of the big counties are odd numbers. So it'll be interesting to see what the Secretary of State picks. We feel like he's going to pick wherever he picks in 8 and 20, they'll do the opposite in 22. So it's going to be a little different for voters in these counties that have had longtime Republican or Democratic county auditors.
Mm-hmm. So their party, if you're a Republican voter, you may or may not be on the top of the ballot.
Correct. Now, one of the things that when people say, oh, the first one always wins, we just had an election locally in Urbandale where the first candidate actually was the seventh place candidate.
Yeah.
So out of seven candidates, the one first and second were 7 and 6.
Isn't that something? Yeah. Well, and one of the things, and let's just come back on that, because I know that you are so passionate about getting people to vote. I mean, this is such an important part of our democratic system here in the United States, and particularly Iowa. You just had a city election. It was a primary.
Yes.
In Polk County. How many people voted? What was the percentage?
We had a 6.7% turnout, actually were excited about.
Really?
Usually a primary election is really the candidates are out there. The media doesn't cover it. So they're out going door to door trying to get people to vote for them, just trying to get them to participate. A lot of times people will drive by and say the vote here sign and say, yeah, I guess I will. Hmm. And they'll go in and vote.
One final question to voting changes. What about school board elections?
We've now combined city and school elections. So November 5th will be the first time that you'll go in. You'll vote for your city council folks, and you'll vote for your school board people. So this is really a good thing. They're hoping it's going to increase turnout. However, it does increase the potential for problems. Your school district boundaries and your city council boundaries are not the same.
Right.
And for some people, they're going to go in, and they're just going to vote for school board because they live in an unincorporated rural area. So a lot of our farmers, our rural areas, aren't governed by city council, so they'll go in and their ballot will just be school board, whereas people in the cities will have both city council and school board on there.
Isn't that interesting? I know I live in the community of Windsor Heights, and where our granddaughter Jovi goes to school is a West Des Moines school district. Right across the street, or just down a little ways, is the Des Moines school district. So people in Windsor Heights will be voting on city council candidates, but in two different elections for school board.
So we call those splits. And in Polk County, we have 177 precincts, and 51 of them have split ballots. And of those 51, there's 124 split ballots. So it's not just one or two. Some places have 5 and 6 with annexations, and different lines that have been drawn for the schools.
It's an amazing. And how do you, Jamie, final question, how do you keep all this straight?
We actually have invested in laptops. Well, we use iPads here in Polk County. We're the 95th county that uses technology. And that will walk everyone through the voter ID and walk them through which ballot they should get. So that's going to simplify the system a lot. Because going through the books and trying to figure out which ballot somebody would get, while it sounds easy, over the course of a 13-hour day, it gets harder and harder.
All right. I lied to you. I said one final question. I do have another question, however. It's voter integrity. The vote really does play an important role. I mean, whether or not this person actually cast that vote electronically or however. So how do we in Iowa make sure that the vote integrity is there?
In Iowa, we all vote on paper. So no matter where you go, you're voting on paper in Iowa. The state of Iowa is all paper. Whether it's absentee, whether it's at the office, you have paper. And we actually have, in the 2017 election law, we changed it where we have post-election audits. So we actually check after the election. Now, we do plenty of testing ahead of time, but this also gives people an opportunity to come down. And as we hand count the ballots, they can see that.
So no matter where you are in the state of Iowa, even though you're writing on a piece of paper and it goes into a machine to scan it, still that is retained, that piece of paper.
Absolutely. So that's the part of Iowa law that everyone should emulate, because we can recreate any election. When people say there are election problems, the only problem we'd have is if we couldn't get in the building. Everything else can be fixed, whether the computers are down, whether everything else is the optical scan doesn't work. Nothing matters because we all vote on paper.
No hanging chads.
Not a single one.
Jamie Fitzgerald is the auditor for Polk County. Thanks so much for spending time with us.
Thank you, Michael.
Once again, that was Jamie Fitzgerald. He is the county auditor for Polk County. We will have links to his website as well as the Secretary of State's website up on our radio blog. Stay with us. There's more to come on this edition of the Business News Hour.